You're listening to Out There. I'm your host, Ruthie Woodring. This show originally aired on February 18th, 2015 on Valley Free Radio, WXOJ. The first 24 minutes are about pruning, about 8 minutes with Bob Aldrich of Warner Tree, and then some interviewing of Paige Bridgens interviewing Sal Peabody. After about minute 25, then it switches to Michael Doctor and Merv delivering roots for Winter Moon Farm. There's a bunch of songs and PSAs mixed in, too. All right, we'll start with interview with Bob Aldrich of Warner Tree. It's the third week of February here in Western Massachusetts. I wondered if you could say something about what people can do right now, this time of year, to keep trees healthy or to care for trees.
Yeah, well, I think everyone's pretty content just to stay inside at this point. So, I mean, what'll happen is we'll get a call in April or May, and they'll be describing, boy, something happened this winter. There's a big lint, so they don't even know it's down until, you know, they're just from the car to the house. But no, I love pruning in the winter. I really like being able to see through the whole crown of the tree. I like being able to, you know, sort of, I can move around and just kind of see the whole thing and what's going on, and I can map out my route and, kind of envision, I can see the framework, I can kind of see what's going to happen before it happens, and what I want it to look like, and what I want to, you know, where I want to focus. Mm-hmm. A lot of what we do is about trying to strengthen the tree just through pruning, just sort of encouraging the strong parts of the tree and discouraging the weaker parts. Being able to see through the whole thing without the foliage concealing anything, I personally prefer that.
So in addition to having a good overall visual sense of the tree, what else makes this a good time for pruning?
Well, it's the fact that it's dormant. If you think particularly like about a sugar maple here, you've got the whole growing season, the tree has its foliage out and it's photosynthesizing. And then it, you know, as the tree goes dormant, it stores a lot of that, those sugars and starches. And that's what you're tapping when you tap a sugar maple in the spring. Mm-hmm. So all plants do that. It's just sugar maples sort of have that higher concentration of sugar. But, you know, if you're pruning even shrubs, and say you've got like an overgrown shrub, it's a great time of year to really knock that back and get it back into shape, because you've got this store of reserves ready to go in the spring. Mm-hmm. So it will throw out a whole bunch of, it's a lot less tricky. You can prune it a lot harder, and it should recover without too much problems.
How about the healing properties? You're saying that it's got these stores. Is there anything else special that makes it better?
Well, there's some people that, again, use a sugar maple as an example. You make that cut and it sort of, for lack of a better word, sort of bleeds. You know, some people think that keeps the wound clean. I don't know if it matters a whole lot what time of year, but you do get the benefit of the whole growing season to callus. You know, after you see a limb or any type of damage, you'll start to see that callus growth that happens throughout the year. And the quicker you can get a wound to heal over, whether it's intentional through pruning or through a storm or something, the better off you are. That's why, like, if you do have a big limb tear out of a tree, it's a good idea to go up and clean the cut up. Sort of like you or I, if you get a cut and it's nice and clean, it heals a lot quicker.
So this time of year, are there certain times of year that are good for certain trees, for pruning certain kinds of trees? Or can you prune about anything in the winter?
You can pretty much prune anything, yeah. I don't know if it really matters a whole lot.
Yeah. I wanted to also ask you about wood chips. So you know how the DPW has all these wood chips?
Yeah.
And so people use those. We use those for mulch and compost and things like that.
Yeah.
Are there things to be concerned about, like spreading disease or fungus or that kind of stuff?
Yeah, to a certain degree there are. But I think as long as they compost them for a year or so, and that heat that happens through that usually kills off a lot of funguses and whatnot, bacteria. But mulch is great. What mulch does is, you know, all these trees basically come out of the forest in one form or another. So if you think about when you walk through the woods, there's always that layer of decaying sticks and leaves sort of breaking down and reintegrating back into the soil. And mulch kind of mimics that. Even if you just have a couple of feet around the base of your tree, if nothing else, it keeps the mowers from whacking into it and the weed whackers and all that. And if you can, you know, lay a little bit of a area that does decompose and it sort of breaks down and goes back into the soil, So there's a lot of benefits to that. In my opinion, it's the biggest bang for the buck as far as tree care.
So if you're using wood chips from unknown sources, you say it's better to wait a year and let it compost instead of using them immediately, or how do you?
Yeah, I think so. Just because, if nothing else, it's, you know, there's that a process happening and it generates a lot of heat, and I would probably just let them sort of break down for a year, or, you know, even over the summer or something. But that's how I would do it. But I don't know if it's mandatory or not. Yeah.
Is it that important what kind of wood chips they are? Like if you take wood chips from, say, like a pine tree or an oak tree, you put them on a maple tree in terms of acidity and stuff like that?
Yeah, I think you would have to watch exactly the level of the acid. Maples are a little more neutral, basic trees. Oaks, pines are a little more acidic. That's why you don't see a whole lot of them growing together. But yeah, you got to keep an eye on that.
As a matter of functionality, though, really, if I'm going to get wood chips and spread them under the tree, I'm going to get them from where I can get them from, pretty much.
Yeah, especially if, like I said, if you wait, you know, a lot of that sort of works itself out.
Okay. So I wonder if you could just tell me a little bit about what all Warner Tree does and how you like the end up in the trees.
Oh, I've been doing it for a while. I really like it. Still like it. Like I said, we do a lot of, I think the thing that we do really well is the pruning. We've had a lot of trees that we take care of regularly that, you know, after a storm, they fare a lot better than a lot of the trees in the same area that haven't been taken care of.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the job that you did on this huge black locust tree, huge multi-trunked black locust tree a number of years ago was just really beautiful, and it's held up really well.
Yeah, I try to go through and, like I said before, try to encourage the strong parts of the tree and discourage the weaker parts, and go up and rather than make one or two really large cuts, make several smaller cuts. The idea being to get that healing process to happen. It happens a lot quicker with a smaller diameter cut as opposed to a larger diameter. That larger diameter cut usually doesn't heal over before you end up getting decay in there. Mm-hmm. So we try to avoid that.
So what is it like to be up on the ladder and the trees and the branches and the sky?
You're not a big fan of ladders. I've fallen off more ladders than...
what do you call the truck? The cherry pickers?
Oh, yeah.
How's that?
Oh, that's good. I'm not getting any younger, so I broke down. But I still prefer climbing. I think you're a little closer, a little more intimate with the tree, and I just sort of like being able to move around and make my way through a tree using the climbing method as opposed to a bucket. But the bucket's helpful, especially with, you know, getting to the outside parts of the tree. And not to mention the part about extending the career.
How long have you been doing tree care?
Oh, over 20 years now. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And how long do you think you'll keep on doing it?
Well, I'm starting to consider other things. So, a little while anyway.
Cool. Well, thanks a lot.
Oh, you're welcome. Thanks for having me. Okay.
That was Bob Aldrich from Warner Tree. You're listening to Out There on Valley Free Radio. I keep looking at the clock. I mean, I keep looking at the wall to see the clock, but the clock's out of batteries. So I keep looking at my watch. But that reminds me, I've been trying to take note of all the public clock towers in town. And the ones that I've noticed, and if you know of any that I don't mention, then give me a call and let me know. Let listeners know that at 585-1033. But the ones that I've noticed, let's see, there's the one, I think the Cooper's Corner one, there's the one just south of there in front of, on Main Street in Florence, in front of Goggins, between Goggins and the Northampton Cooperative Bank. There's the one at Smith College that you can see, like if you're waiting for the bus in Pulaski Park and you look up the hill and the trees aren't, the leaves aren't blocking it. There's the one at First Churches. I think that's the most visible one. I find that one the most helpful when I'm trying to figure out what time it is around town. There's also the one above Faces. And then there's the one that's on Hampton Court Apartments, where that fountain and square is behind Sylvester's on Pleasant Street. Anyway, if you can think of any other public clocks in town that you can see from outside, give me a call, 585-1033, and let people know how they can tell the time if they're not good with the sun. All right, so next, well,
I want to play a little bit of this song. This is Prevelli Massive is the name of the band. I think they're from Australia. This is called Prune Hop. It's made by a pruning crew, a tree pruning crew, I believe.
What do you need to be a pruning MC? A nice set of loppers and a big cup of tea. To talk about pruning on the MIC, you must learn your pruning ABC. This is a promise to guarantee. You must have passion and you must love trees. Oh yeah. Oh, here we go again. We get on the area bus each morning. He's kept in a room, received a warning. Can't sleep at night cause he seems snoring. But man's pruning walk is boring. Better watch your weasel face, mustache man. He'll be spying on the kitchen looking for his pan. So you better be moving if you think you can. But first you need a hold on and a master plan.
We'll hear a little bit more of that later. Now I'm going to go to the interview with Paige and Sal. Actually, it's kind of like a pruning tutorial. I had a great time editing this because it really helped me learn, but here they are.
I'm talking to Sal Peabody, who is a landscape designer. And Sal, I've got a lot of questions about pruning. We're now in the dead of winter. It's February of the coldest winter in a long time that we've known here in New England. And I just want to think about pruning.
Oh, thank you, Paige, for asking me. And well, pruning right now is a great time to prune apples. You're wanting to prune apples during their dormancy. Basically creates a hormonal response, and you want to get the pruning done before they bud out so that you influence that hormonal response the way you want it to happen. And that means flowering in the places where you want it to flower, and so that means eventually where it will fruit. It also has other hormonal responses where it can rejuvenate a plant. Like, for instance, they've discovered a hawthorn in a hedge in England that was pruned many, many times over hundreds of years. And they discovered it was 900 years old when a hawthorn unpruned would live maybe 40, 50 years old at most. So it can really extend the lifetime of a plant. And apples, you usually start with your apples because their dormancy breaks a little bit earlier. There's pears that you want to do a little later, and your peaches and your plums and your prunuses you want to do a little bit later after that. But right now is a great time to prune apples.
So for people listening to you who think, oh, I've got a crab apple in my front yard, or I've got apples, I don't really know how to prune them. What are the things people should think of?
Well, there is a sort of a general approach to pruning crab apples and apples, and there are some basic guideline rules that you never want to cut out more than a third of live wood at any particular pruning of each year, because if you do more than that, the plant will sort of react in a crazy way and it will send up suckers, these straight shoots right up from the base of branches, and it will look kind of hairy, and it puts it into shock, and it's a little too severe.
Okay, so no more than a third off of the tree.
Mm-hmm.
What else?
And there are basic patterns which are really helpful to think about whether you're doing this for an ornamental. Are you trying to increase the amount of fruit? Are you trying to bring an old orchard back into condition? So there are different approaches that you want to take with each one of these things that you're trying to accomplish. If it's a crab apple and you're thinking about giving it a beautiful form and opening up the canopy a little bit to bring in a little more airflow, but also to have a really beautiful structure as well. That's one thing. But there are many different approaches, and understanding which direction you want to go in first is a place to start.
Well, what are the things a person needs to look for? Like, let's say they think, okay, I'd like my crab apple to look beautiful, or I'd like my apple tree to be highly productive?
Well, I would cut all of the root sprouts that are down at the bottom.
If you can get to them. We've now got about 3 or 4 feet of snow on the ground, so...
Yeah, that makes it a little challenging right now. So you might have to wait until later until the
grass snow. It makes it easier to get to the canopy, though.
Well, some of the things that I would consider are if there are any branches that are crossing or rubbing against each other. Also considering about taking out anything that might be dead. And remember that anything that you take out dead doesn't get included in your 1/3 pile. That doesn't count. And also, if you at some point get to your suckers, your root suckers, those actually don't count either in your 1/3. Everything else will.
Okay, so crossed or rubbing branches, you mentioned.
Mm-hmm. And you want to look at the angle of your branches, and you want to have 35 degrees, 30, 35 degrees, or more than that of a crotch angle is fine. But if you have some really tight angles, that's going to cause problems in the future. So those are things that you'd want to prune out as well.
So a crotch angle, can you explain?
So it's basically the angle in between a branch and another branch or the trunk of the tree, wherever it's coming out from.
I had a couple other questions about this particular tree.
So this is Howard, who is also visiting that day. That was actually at the bike lab. This recording is from Saturday at Paige's house at the bike lab.
At my sister's place in Rhode Island, the apple tree with the many, many, you call them water sprouts, straight up all over the tree. I would take them off with a sharp clipper.
Mm-hmm. And I would recommend, if a clippers can handle the width of it, I would recommend a bypass that gives a cleaner cut than what is called an anvil.
The anvil will squeeze.
And yes, and it can cause a little bit of damage to the cut that you want to have a really clean cut.
Okay, a bypass, and then the same if you use a lopper with two hands. Is that...
Yes, loppers, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I often prefer to, if it's something bigger, to use a saw, a pruning saw, a small pruning saw. I feel as if I have a little bit better control so that I can cut just above the collar with a nice clean cut.
Can you explain what you mean by the collar?
For lack of a better way of saying it, where the branch comes out of another branch, it has what is called a collar, and it looks something like a foreskin. And you don't want to cut into that at all, or you're going to have some scarring that will cause damage in the future. It will not scar correctly. You actually want the scar tissue.
It won't heal.
It will not heal over. A good healing response is that you will get some growth that will actually cover over that hole that is created in wood where you have cut off a branch. So it'll cover it over, and it will be like some bark growing over the top of it, of that wound.
I think we've all seen an area where there's a round circle, like a ridge of healing tissue where a branch has been removed. And that's a good healing
response. And if you cut into the collar, it will not be able to do that.
This is special tissue in that area that just responds in this way that creates this opportunity for that hole to be covered up?
Yes. Basically, this special tissue, it has undetermined growth. And what that means is that it can choose to become inner bark, outer bark. It can become another branch. It can choose what it wants to be. It could even choose to be a root, but it will choose the appropriate growth response. That's why it's really important to have a nice, clean cut where you don't wound the collar. And you also want to be just above the collar as well, because otherwise you're creating something, a bigger wound to cover.
So you're going to see you're going to see a lot of little nubs in a tree that has many, many...
water sprouts?
Yes. Is that right?
Yep.
Okay. And the angle that you make the cut, is it important?
Yes. And the angle is going to be determined by the collar.
Okay.
Because you want
parallel
the...
with...
You just want to go right over the top of the collar. Your cut is going to go right over the top of the collar.
Okay.
Another thing that I'm going to suggest as well is, it's a little bit more work, but it's worth it. Sometimes a branch, if it's heavy and you don't want it to split into your collar, so you want to take the weight off first. So you could take a preliminary cut. Anything that's got some weight to it that is going to cause it to split potentially while you're cutting it. So I would say anything that's bigger than, say, an inch and a half in diameter, I would do an extra cut.
Cut it once first.
Cut it once to take all the weight off, and then maybe give yourself a couple of inches in between the collar and where you have done your initial first cut to take the weight off. You've taken the weight off, and then you make your really precise, clean cut right above the collar.
Okay. I've heard about, and actually this is something I do, is to do a cut underneath before you remove the weight. A cut underneath that will prevent that bark from being pulled all the way, you know, be torn off of the tree. So to do a cut, hold your saw with the blade up and cut like a quarter of the way through the branch, and then to do beyond that, to do your removal of the weight, so that as that weight is falling, it does not peel the bark down the tree.
Yes, that's another approach to taking it, so that you don't split and peel when the branch falls when you've cut it. And I would say that that's always a good thing to do in any cut that you're doing. It's not necessary so much when you're taking the weight off, but when you're doing your final clean cut just above the collar, that's always a good idea to do that, is to make sure that it doesn't peel down by doing a little bit of an incision on the bottom.
What about Stephen Hayes? He's from the UK. Over years, he has 4 videos of water sprout removal of an old neglected tree. And you see over the course of these 4 years what he did and how it evolved. And then in the final one, we're seeing him pick fruit. Anyway, Stephen Hayes has great videos on pruning. Apples.
So that's been Paige Bridgens interviewing South Peabody about pruning. You're listening to Out There on Valley Free Radio. I'm your host, Ruthie Woodring. I have another little, I'll play some of that Prune Hop by Prevelli Massive again. Australia, pas de renvoi, pas, sinon adieu le visa. Je vous dis dans le temps, la prune, c'est chiant. Dehors, dans les champs, partout, le temps. Tout seul dans ton rond, comme un pété. Tu t'emmerdes toute la journée. On a acheté 2 bois fumés. Du coup, on est toujours défoncé. Spécial dédicace à mon pote Dino. Avec du feuilles, on roule des bédos. Je suis pas OP, nous rivés. Mon truc à moi, c'est de pruner. Représente Paname jusqu'au bout du monde. Je reviendrai poteau, la terre est ronde. C'est Yasmon, Big Up Paris, 2009 en direct Australie. Running for torrential rain, all hands in tremendous pain. Can't get pruning off my brain, think it's driving me insane. Running for torrential rain, all hands in tremendous pain. Can't get pruning off my brain, think it's driving me insane. So I guess it's time.
it's not much fun. Gotta get these trees all done.
Oh, yeah.
You're listening to WXOJ LP Northampton, Valley Free Radio, 103.3 FM, streaming online at valleyfreeradio.org. This is Out There. You can also hear archives of Out There at weatherbeard.com/Ruthie. We're going to take a little break.
I was searching for an answer when I reached out and found Narcotics Anonymous. With the help of recovering addicts, I realized I was not alone. Call Narcotics Anonymous toll-free at 1-866-NA-HELP-U or log on at newenglandna.org.
WXOJ is supported by the People's Music Network for Songs of Freedom and Struggle. PMN is a national network of people who use music, dance, storytelling, and poetry to promote progressive ideas and transform ourselves and our communities through music to bring about a better world. Find out more at www.peoplesmusic.org.
Here I go, bound for freedom, pay my truth, take the lead. Not the preacher, not the Congress, not the millionaire, but me.
So this is vacation week. For public schools, there's a Kids Best Fest youth film this week at the Academy of Music. Tomorrow, Thursday at 1:30, they're playing The Never Ending Story. And then Friday at 1:30 is Youth Film 2015, films made by local youth and youth from California who are at the beginning of their budding careers. The participants are able to see their films on the Academy of Music's large screen in a theater setting. Special category is The Sprintis from NCTV. Join us to celebrate youth work in the video arts. It's free and donations are encouraged. That's at the Academy of Music Theater on Main Street in Northampton. Another thing going on this week, Friday, February 20th from 9 to noon. Do you need help understanding public benefits? Northampton Senior Services, Deborah Hollingworth, will assist seniors to better understand the complexity of public benefits, such as MassHealth or Medicare, and explain how coordinating public benefits may enable a senior to remain independent in their home as they age. Appointments with volunteer Deborah Hollingworth are available on Fridays at the Northampton Senior Center, February 20th from 9 a.m. to noon. I guess that's drop-in hours? I'm not quite clear. It says to schedule your appointment, call the senior services at 587-1228. That's at the Northampton Senior Center.
Tune in to As Seen on Radio Tuesdays from 1 to 2 p.m. on Valley Free Radio. Put on your listening goggles and see what we're broadcasting. Our show features the talents of emerging local musicians, artists, writers, and thinkers. We paint the airwaves with a dazzling swirl of music, words, and dreams. A technicolor patchwork of interviews, insights, and entertainments. Every Tuesday from 1 to 2, 103.3 FM, Valley Free Radio, WXOJ.
So I have another interview I'm going to play. I have some more stuff about the pruning, but I'm going to take a little break from that and play an interview with Michael Doctor and Merv. So this clip is actually from last December, but I talked with Michael recently, and I think things are pretty much still the same, still true. This clip is from when I ran into them downtown one day when they were doing the root route on bikes. So we're here at Ama News on a Tuesday morning with
Michael Doctor
and, are you?
And Merv Broussard.
What are you doing here?
We're having breakfast.
How come you got to eat?
We have to eat because we expended a lot of energy here. And to keep us warm, we have to eat. So Michael's feeding his feet at this point right now. Changing his socks as his feet are cold.
Looking at me like, no, I've never seen that before.
That's not inside of Ominous. We haven't seen that. That's a first. Yeah, let me hold the door open because people are starting to exit at this point. Michael Doctor is he's cleared room for the family to come in and have a seat.
Yeah. Oh, God. That's why we sit on the bench for the initial 5 minutes. It's called our warm down. You know, we have a little tea.
Well, we want people to take pity on us, too.
You know? Away too.
That's right. That's
okay,
right.
Okay. So tell me about the what you're doing today, besides clearing people out of the restaurant.
Well, we just delivered some vegetables.
Wait, vegetables? It's December. What are you doing with vegetables in mid to late December?
Oh, December? What are we doing with vegetables?
Well, that's exactly. What are we doing? I think it's a little silly for us to be delivering vegetables in December. It's strange.
It's a snowstorm and it's 9 degrees out.
That's right. Starting off at 3 below.
Yeah,
it's 9 degrees. That's why we stopped to buy extra socks.
And soup.
And soup.
And don't forget about the sardine pizza. Sardine pizza in town. Good.
Wait, so I want to hear about the bike delivery.
What bike delivery? Oh, yeah, bike delivery.
And the vegetables in December.
Oh, vegetables.
Well, yeah, we deliver vegetables in December, December to March.
December to March.
Merv and I.
Yeah.
Merv owns Mitch's Marina.
Yeah,
he's
yeah.
Mitch, but he's really just Merv.
Now, the other four-letter word, yes.
The other four-letter word.
That's right.
And he comes along and he delivers the vegetables with me, and we have a good time.
Where do you get the vegetables from?
Well, I grew up from the earth, baby.
Woohoo! That is deep, Michael. That's really deep.
You know, it's only about 6 inches, really.
Well,
right
that's only 6 inches.
Yeah.
No, silly of me, yeah.
We, we grow Winter Moon Roots, name of the farm. And we grow the roots. We pick them in November, and we put them in our storage, and then we sell them all winter. And Merv joins me on Tuesday and Friday mornings.
Mm-hmm.
And Tuesday, which we're in the midst of right now, is by far the best day of the week. And this is why, because we deliver our vegetables, and then we go, and we get all heated and warmed up, you know, from all moving all the weight around town.
Fresh air. Yeah.
And then we go sit down on the bench, and we have our Amanu's pot of Moroccan tea on the bench.
That's right, yeah.
Warm us down, cool
That's
us
right.
off a little bit.
Take pictures, send out some texts.
Yep.
Text messages, yeah.
You know, lets his family know what he's
That's
doing.
That's right.
Because they are kind of wondering what do you do?
What do you do? So I send them pictures and a few words along with it.
That's explains it. He's sitting on a bench and it's snowing. He's drinking hot tea.
That's hot tea.
Bikes and blankets. And,
right.
you know. Yeah.
So where are these, what dirt pile are these roots coming from?
Dirt?
Yes, deep.
I mean,
deep,
the best
inches.
Soil in the world.
No, well, we grow them in Hadley Loam, you know, and then we wash the dirt off before we deliver them because our customers, you know, Paul Elizabeth's and Cornucopia and Cereo's and now Dobra's Tea, they just open up and bought
It's a nice little shop, too. Very nice little shop. I'd like to get some
they don't
tea
like,
from
nobody really likes dirty vegetables. So
no,
we
clean them.
Clean them for
well, I don't clean them, but he cleans them.
And no, we don't make Merv do that.
So you do the Tuesday and Friday route on
Tuesday and Friday.
The bike trailer?
Tuesday in Northampton and Friday in Hadley.
Yeah, we go to Whole Foods on Friday.
That's right.
And so you do
we
this?
Have a lot of fun.
Yeah?
Just have a lot of fun.
You do this December, January, February,
well, yeah,
March?
We run out of roots or, you know, we go to Smith College is one of our big customers in Northampton. And, you know, we get some, they don't want it all delivered in one spot. It's got to go around to half a dozen or 8 or 10 different dining halls. So it keeps us busy and, you know, out of trouble just driving vegetables around Smith and to the little restaurants and grocery stores.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
You know, it's a good day.
So there's two of you and two bike trailers. How much roots do you have on each trailer? How many pounds would
you
say?
Well, it all depends. I mean, it's not busy right now, but we've done a lot of weight going out to Whole Foods at times, and about 400 pounds on one and 500 on the other at one point.
Yep.
We did quite a bit. There's like, say, we have 50 bags, right? Mike gives me two, and he takes the other 48.
How is it coming across the Coolidge Bridge?
Not bad, though. No, not bad. That's not bad. I kind of like the thrill of that Coolidge Bridge area, yeah.
You do like that? Yeah.
Yeah, all thoughts go through my head when I'm going across that thing.
What are you thinking?
Well, if I get thrown off my bike, not in the middle of the river, on the side would be better. All kinds of dark thoughts go across my head.
Yeah.
I go, listen, it's 10 minutes, we'll be across. But
yeah.
No. But it's safe. It's not bad at all.
It's not so bad.
No.
As you've pointed out to me before, Ruthie, there's not a lot of shoulder on that bridge.
So you just take
thing
the lane.
I'm really, really impressed by Merv. You know, Merv lives on the river at Mitch's Marina, and so he enjoys the river all the time. and you know, you'd think you'd get sick of it, right? No. Well, there are many days where we'll be going across the river, and Merv will just stop at the very top, the azimuth of the bridge, and we'll just sit there and we'll just, like, study that. You know, the traffic will be whizzing by, and the dump trucks will be going by, and we'll just be, like, checking out the river. You know, Merv's, like, saying hello to his friend again.
That's right.
It's nice. I like that. You know?
Yeah. So what other deliveries do you do not by bicycle?
Well, most of what I grow is delivered not by bicycle, it's delivered by truck. We deliver about 15% of what we grow. And last year, Merv and I, we moved about 25,000 pounds of roots by bike. And then the rest of it went by truck. Some of it goes to Boston. Some of it goes to Mount Holyoke. We can't quite go over the notch with our roots to Mount Holyoke College. So in the River Valley is on the route to the Greenfield, and they also order so much food from us that it wouldn't quite be doable by bike. But we do what we, the routes that we can deliver on the routes that we can deliver by bike, we do them by bike.
Why?
Oh, well.
Because we're juveniles, and we like bicycles, and we like to ride, and we like to be outside, I think.
Right.
Basically,
this is
the thing. You said it was like
skipping school.
Like skipping school.
That's
you
what
know,
it is.
Kids skipping school. And,
yeah, keeps us young. You know, we're old men.
That's
how old
right.
are you?
Oh, wait a second.
I'm 52.
And Merv. I retired in April, 62. So I'm the adult here.
Yeah. That's good to hear, because a lot of people ask me, oh, what are you going to do when you get older, like, because I do pedal people now, right? I turn 40 next month. Oh, and hey, you're 62, shouldn't be a problem. Keep on doing it for another 20 years.
Yeah, as long as your legs keep going, you can do this for sure.
All right, well, thanks for feeding me breakfast and letting me interview you.
Well, thank you for interviewing us.
Ruthie, thanks for inspiring me, because I don't think I would ever have a bike trailer if I hadn't seen you guys, and you especially inspire me and with your biking. And, you know, I thought you were crazy when I saw you guys out there first time with a bike trail.
Oh no,
I thought it was the most crazy thing I ever saw.
Ruthie inspired me, because if you look here, you'll see I got the boots that you told me to put over my shoes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'll tell you, these things keep my feet really warm.
Yeah,
so thank you.
I had to change my socks today because we had to get new socks.
Oh, I remember seeing you do it in tennis shoes. Right.
We're much smarter now.
That's Michael Doctor from Winter Moon Roots, as well as Merv. I want to give a big thank you to Michael Doctor and Winter Moon and Hadley for their generosity and delicious food. I think they have the tastiest roots around, the sweetest carrots and beets and parsnips, all those things. They sell at the Winter Farmers Market at Smith Oak on Saturdays. Just like walking through and looking at the different colors of root vegetables. They're so brilliant, the reds and purples and orange, pink, yellow, black, white, brown, all these things. This is Greg Brown.
Old kit and caboodle, then decipher, there ain't no where to go that ain't here. The little captains and cuckoos, from here to Timbuktu, I'm counting the dough in a mirror. Rooty toot toot for the moon, it's the biggest star I've ever seen. It's a barrel of wisdom, slice of green cheese, and it's burning just like kerosene. Burning just like kerosene. You're gonna hop in your old Ford, strap on your new sword, wait for the good Lord to return. If you got a true honey, life can be pretty funny. If you got money, you got money to burn. Rooty toot toot for the moon, it's the biggest star I've ever seen. It's a pearl of wisdom, slice of green cheese, and it's burning just like kerosene. Burning just like kerosene.
Thank you. So God bless motorcycles and all the other trifles. I, you know, you can't memorize Zen. Hang your hat on your nose. Do not hide in your clothes. Kiss somebody. Begin to begin. Rudy toot toot for the moon. It's the biggest star I've ever seen. It's a pearl of wisdom. Slice of green cheese and it's burning just like kerosene. Burning just like kerosene. Oh, it's burning.
Speaking of food and roots, on Saturday, March 7th, that's still 2.5 weeks from now, I believe, there's going to be a workshop, Food Justice, What Is It? This is in Greenfield, sponsored by Mass Slavery Apology. It's part of their free monthly program series. This workshop about food justice, what it is and how to attain it, there'll be presenters Liz Ogilvie and Catherine Sands. They're both on the Steering Committee, Racial Equity Committee, and Food System Committee of Pioneer Valley Grows, based in South Deerfield. The event's free, but donations are welcome. You can also reserve childcare. For more information, go to massslaveryapology.org. And the event is at First Congregational Church, 43 Silver Street in Greenfield, on March 7th from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. Another event coming up this Saturday is a support group for people of color and their allies. It's called What's Next? I Can't Breathe, facilitated by Kaylin. For more information about the location of this event or to register, call 341-3503. The event will be in Northampton. And you can go to her website to... if you want to, which is ltar.biz. This event, again, is in Northampton, and it's going to be this Saturday, February 21st at 2 p.m. And the support group will be assisted by Shanice and Frank Rashilla.
Full of Contents is a weekly music program that assembles an assortment of songs and sounds of many genres, and which may entail literally taking a random collection of musical sources off the shelf and giving them a turn on the table or spin in a CD or tape player. Each week presenting shows which can at times be organized orderly and at other times perhaps be not as much so, yet never dull. Tune in Friday nights 10 p.m. till midnight on WXOJ LP Northampton 103.3 FM.
February is Black History Month, and I haven't done anything. I haven't really paid attention to events going on around town, but I do want to play the song, Lift Every Voice and Sing. This is a Ray Charles version.
I got something in my bones. Make me want to shout hallelujah. And I want to sing along. Lift every voice and sing, till it in heaven ring, ring with the harmony. Oh, liberty. Let our rejoice and rise high. Loud as the joy and sea. Till victory won.
That was Ray Charles and the Raelettes singing Lift Every Voice, the Black National Anthem. So I'm going to go back to some more clips from the pruning tutorial with Paige and Sal. They're going to talk about pear trees soon.
Okay, so Sal, let's say we've removed the root suckers, we've removed water sprouts, we've removed branches that are crossing.
And deadwood, another is it to cut anything that is below a graft and also anything that is below your knee, sort of standard for a semi-dwarf. You can go up a little bit higher, generally, if you want the branchings to be up higher, if you have a standard.
A standard is a tree that's not a dwarf. And not a semi-dwarf, but a much taller tree, right?
Yes.
Like up
yes.
to 40 or more feet, something like that.
Yeah, even up to 60. We're talking about, you know, the bigger, larger trees. Most of what we see these days are semi-dwarf. But sometimes in these old orchards, you see big, beautiful old apples, which are these old standards.
Okay, so yes to removing dead wood, diseased wood, things below the, roughly below the knee. Now, what about that there might still be some branches that go straight up?
Pretty much anything that goes straight up, unless you're talking about a centroleader standard tree. A centroleader tree is something that you probably all will recognize. Like, for example, Bartlett pears are always a central leader tree,
like so or a central conifer, leader.
It means that you have one trunk that goes straight all the way up to the top, and then you have branches coming out from the sides. That's a central leader tree. For example, a spruce is going to be a central leader tree.
So there. Are there other forms besides central leader?
Yes, and sometimes that's induced by pruning. With a very young apple, in the majority of cultivars, you want to have it an open vase shape. You're helping it to have many branches that open up wide and angle out to the sides. And you don't have one middle central leader that goes all the way up to the top. This allows for more airflow and more fruiting. The open
center.
Open center, yes.
Okay, so there's central leader and open center. These are two
basic
forms. Now, so far we've talked about apple, and usually apples have more of an open center, but there are some that have been pruned to being central leader. So should people be, before they do any cuts, observe the form of the tree and try to work with that form?
Mm-hmm. Yep, and most apples, and unless you're talking about a really young apple and it's only a year old and it's just a whip, you're going to have that central leader. And when you just have that whip, you're actually going to discourage it from being a central leader, and you're going to encourage it to have side branches. And the way that you're going to do that is by tipping it and topping it. So that central leader branch, you're going to bring it back a little bit, and you're going to bring it back down to a bud. And that bud will then become the apical dominant branch, which means the branch that is going to grow the biggest and fastest. And then you'll get that each year.
Pears tend to grow straight up.
Yes, they are straight up. Most of the time they are a central leader tree. Once in a while they, you know, in a windstorm or something, they get topped one way or another. And then you get a funky form that's going to be more open. And you do the best to work with it.
What do you do with the fact that the branches on pears tend to also grow very straight up? The whole thing just grows straight up. Let's say you want to get airflow. You know, some of those key things, airflow, light into the tree. You want to work with the tree to create branches that are a little bit more open.
Well, you're going to do the same thing with apples, and you're going to cut out those branches that are going straight up, those water sprouts they're sometimes referred to as. And also, pears go straight up, particularly when they're younger. They'll open out a little bit more as they get older and reach their height. But until then, one of the ways that I've found is really helpful is through training.
Mm-hmm.
And that is to weigh the branches down in 4 or 5 year old trees, 6 year old trees, and then you can open out the branches some more. Some ones that are heading sort of out in that direction, that maybe at a 45 degree angle, you can weigh them down with something and pull the branch down in the winter time, and then generally by July, it has changed the angle to what you have pulled it down to.
Mm-hmm. Or similarly, you can use spreaders.
Spreaders work great too.
Between the trunk and the branch to just help hold it a little wider than it might
that
otherwise.
Works. They work just as well. I'm just cheap, and anything can be a weight. A spreader you generally have to go purchase. So,
I use sticks. I use a lathe and then saw a notch out of each end and fit it in the space.
And that totally works too. I'm just lazy. I don't want to saw a very specifically sized piece of wood at the openings just at the right place. I can just weight it down with something. And one advantage of weights is that if you have a long weight, then you can use it for many different branches instead of cutting. So if you have a weight that, for instance, is, say, a metal pole down sitting at the bottom, then you can use that weight for many different branches. You can tie it down at many different points upon the pole.
Mm-hmm.
So you've been listening to an interview with Sal Peabody. Paige's been doing the interviewing. You've been listening to Out There on Valley Free Radio. I'm your host, Ruthie Woodring. I'm actually going to be out of town the next 4 Wednesdays, so I'll be playing repeats for this show. I'm going home to Kentucky to see my family down near the Kentucky-Tennessee line. And, well, stay tuned for Democracy Now! Up at 5 o'clock. And I have this song to close out. This is the Osborne Brothers.
It's written by Boudlow and Felice Bryan about a beautiful spot just out of Gatlinburg, Tennessee, and on February the 15th, 1982, this song was voted by the General Assembly of Tennessee as one of their official state songs, and we were very fortunate to be the first group to have the first record on this, and since then, it's been recorded over 100 times, and we look back on dear old Rocky Top.
About that. Rocky Top, you'll always be home sweet home to me. Good old Rocky Top, Rocky Top, Tennessee, Rocky Top, Tennessee. Once two strangers climbed on Rocky Top looking for a moonshine still. Strangers, they ain't come down Rocky Top, I reckon they never will. Dirt's too rocky by far. That's why all the folks on Rocky Top get their corn from a jar. Rocky Top, you'll always be home sweet home to me. Good old Rocky Top, Rocky Top, Tennessee, Rocky Top, Tennessee. Rocky Top, Tennessee, Rocky Top, Tennessee. Rocky Top 10.